Hello there, Monster Sci-Fi Show fans, and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show, or should I say, the Monster Horror Show. If you're confused by that, don't be. What I did, I dedicated the month of October to be nothing but horror movies. Why just horror movies? As much as I love the sci-fi genre, the horror genre is just as important to me in many, many levels. If you go back to the very beginning of October, I think day one or two, you'll notice I've made mention of the person that I was referring to, and she has a very big influence as far as me loving the horror genre. Just as much as I would read Starlog magazines, Fangoria was on the opposite side of my reading list. So every month I would collect both magazines, keep up to date, but really through her, I really had a true appreciation for the horror genre. So again, go to the very beginning of my blog and you'll see who I'm referring to. So what I'm planning to do today are going to be short podcasts for the different decades, starting with the 70s, and then the very last one, I'm going to do a top 5 overall of my favorite movies. So hopefully you'll agree with some of them, and if not, well, let me know. Everyone has a right to like what they like, but I would like to hear from you. Let me know what you think. Send me an email. Send me some love. Anything. Let's start off real quick with number 10. We have Carrie, Stephen King, Brian De Palma, Great Marriage. If you've known Brian De Palma's movie-making style, he has lots of slow motion, he has split screens. I love his stuff. This was awesome. We have number 9, Rabbit. Rabbit is David Cronenberg's film, and definitely is a kind of a nice little twist on the zombie genre, or the virus, basically, that turns people into these kind of zombie-like monsters, kind of like the 28 weeks later that we see today. That was already done back in the 70s. And it starred Marilyn Chambers, who used to be a porn star, and she wasn't a bad actress. I really liked her. So, number 8, we have Phantasm. Tall, thin man, spike silver ball. That's all you really need to know. Number 7, we get the Omen. Omen, child, antichrist. Synonymous, don't you think? Number 6, we get the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Definitely a good slasher film. And I would say more realistic slasher film as opposed to Friday the 13th, in which later on, the character of Jason Voorhees is more of a unstoppable force, whereas in Texas Chainsaw, Leatherface is more of, what I say, for a better word, a grounded villain who, you know, has a slaughterhouse and wears human skin on his face. But aside from that, you know, you cannot really beat this good slasher film. So, let's start off with the top 5 now. Starting with number 5, we get Jaws from 1975. This was indeed a true movie blockbuster. So, up to that point, summer releases, Jaws came out. Now, every summer, you have to have a movie blockbuster. And that really set the precedence from 1975 onward for every summer to have huge hits. When I saw this, definitely I freaked out because I don't like swimming in the ocean. I have this fear of having something pull me underneath. And of course, then me looking up and seeing how far away I am from the surface. Don't like it. I'll rather swim in the pool, leave it at that. But definitely good use of keeping the creature hidden as far as the shark up till the very end, because the last thing you want to do is that you have the reveal of the creature right up front, you're not going to have much of a surprise towards the end. So it does follow a certain tradition of a slow build-up as far as the reveal of the shark itself. And when we finally get it, Good climax. Moving on to number four, we get from 1973. I did not see this in the theaters, but I did see the trailers on TV, and that's The Exorcist. The Exorcist, for the most part, again, just the trailer, would scare the living crap out of me. Why? Well, for the most part, whenever I would see this in my room, it would be within the bed that I'm in, and the bed shaking scene would scare the crap out of me. Back in the day, we didn't have remotes. I could not change the channel. I had to get up from bed and turn the channel itself. No, I had the channel. I was stuck with it, so I had to cover myself, hum really loud until the commercial was over. So, not until the 80s when videotapes really made watching The Exorcist possible that I finally got to appreciate what the whole movie was about. But much later on, living in New York, as many people know, there are no earthquakes, not like California on the West Coast. But there was one time we did experience a very minor earthquake, but it scared, again, the crap out of me because my bed started to shake just like from The Exorcist. I could not get out of bed. I could not speak a word. I couldn't, yell. I just, froze in bed. And that terrified me. So, not until it was over and then I hear the car alarms, beeping outside and then finally my parents came in. That's when, I realized what was going on. So I had nothing to do with The Exorcist, but it was enough for me to really get freaked out. But nonetheless, it was still a good film. I loved it. I loved Linda Blair in it, and lots of memorable scenes, especially one of my favorite of her doing the head turn, the 360 head spin. Really creepy. Now, moving on to number three. 1978. Again, I did not get to see this in the theaters, but again, the advent of VHS did make my love of zombies flourish with Dawn of the Dead. This is the second film by George Romero. What I also loved about this, that Tom Savini was in it as one of the bikers in the gangs that would break into the mall itself, and knowing the freak that he is as a makeup artist, he loves his work. It's very evident, especially since he wants to be torn up by the very zombies that he's creating these effects for. So it's a classic. Looking at someone's internal organs being dismembered, there's an art to that, and I hate to say that sounds morbid, but it was a beautiful thing. Alright, now, moving on to number two. Still within the 70s, 1979. This is the first time I hear the word Ridley Scott. And if you don't know the film, well, it's Alien. When this came out, just thought it was just another science fiction film. Didn't think much of it. And for the most part, I don't think anyone else thought much of it either. Or at least did not know what was coming. And when I saw this film, this was in a theater called the Lois Orpheum on 86th and 3rd Avenue in New York. My mom went with me and my cousin. They had no idea either. And the chest-bursting scene, I think, was by far the straw that broke the camel's back, because my mom just could not handle this movie anymore and actually got up from her seat, and so did a lot of other people in the lobby. And I was wondering what happened. I'm like, I couldn't imagine all these people in the lobby just could not watch this film. But it was just the funniest thing ever, just to see them almost pass out because of what we were watching. Again, much like Jaws, we see the slow reveal of the creature, or the alien, and come on, you could not make a better horror movie because, one, it's full of suspense. Yes, it's dealing with a single monster in space, but still, it's a horror film, much like, the traditional Mummy, Frankenstein, Dracula. It does have lots of suspense. It definitely works on a horror level in that sense. Alright, so now we come to the last one, or the number one horror movie that I consider to be from 1970. This one came out in 1978. This makes me about 11 years old. Now, my biological father, for the most part, took me to a lot of movies. I've watched lots of Godzilla films and Flash Gordon and so forth. This one, I don't know what he was thinking. For the most part, there's a lot of murder, a lot of killing going on. Also, this is probably one of my first sex scenes that I've seen on the big screen, which PJ Souls was in it, and I had great memories of that. Especially being a very young, enthusiastic boy. And for the most part, my daughter, who is 9, I'm not going to let her see this in 2 years. So, again, what they were thinking while raising me, I don't know. But it did have a weird and positive effect on me, because I did appreciate the horror genre. And John Carpenter, he directed this. He made the theme for Halloween, which is infamous. So to me, there are very little positive things I can say about my father, but in this case, you know, through his, not say misdirection, but through his inactions, he steered me in a course that was unknown and was a good thing. I'm glad that happened, even by accident. But nonetheless, you get Michael Myers, we get Jamie Lee Curtis, the beginning of the Scream Queen from my generation, and of course Donald Pleasance. One side note, if you notice, or the little trivia fact about Michael Myers' mask, it's a replica of William Shatner's face. So who wouldn't be scared of Shatner's face with a knife being, you know, wielded at you? But it's one of those, truly, if you want to say what defines horror, that's it. That's, to me, the ultimate movie right there. You cannot make a better horror movie back there. And yes, the remake happened, and other movies are far worse as far as torture porn, as far as giving you more graphic violence. But for me, Halloween is perfect in all respect. So, in any case, I hope you liked the top 10, or at least the top 5 that I mentioned right now for the 70s. Again, this is short, but I have 4 more podcasts still to go. I'm trying to do it all in one night. Can I do it? Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Good night, folks.